Welcome back to Conversations with Carlisle. I'm your host, Bryson Hill, of course, joined by the man himself, Coach Carlisle. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Bryce. Good morning, good people.
100%. Well, with that being said, let's get right into it with you guys are right back in the thick of it for you and your boys here coming up. Obviously, you guys have this weirder schedule because no one really wants to play y'all. So for the next, you've kind of had this weird gap that you don't usually have to start out with two games and then you go back into, and now you're getting back into more games. So how have you kind of approached these last couple of weeks with practices and whatnot, trying to keep conditioning up and trying to keep everyone up to game speed when it comes to getting back into the flow of the regular season? Because obviously you guys have a couple of games coming up here. You have a couple of games coming up here, and then obviously after break, it really kicks back into gear. So what have you kind of been doing to make sure everyone's staying up to game speed?
Yeah, we treated it, and I talk to my guys about this a lot. You can only control what you can control, control your controllables. So it's kind of been a blessing in disguise for us. Naturally, we only play two games, but it seems like a long time in the season. But we treated this as a reset, and we've kind of used conditioning as a consequence, as well as just a tool for us to stay in shape. Leading into a really tough stretch. We have 6 games left in December, so we play 2, Warren Central Brownsburg this weekend, and then just before the new year, we play 4 games in 2 days in Richmond in the Bob Wettig tournament. The goal is to go 1-0 in every game and be 6-0 in December. I think we've had a really, really good, or at least a very good 2 weeks and a decent start to this week of practice. So hopefully we can put together a couple more good days and put ourselves in position to be ready to get 2 wins this weekend, starting with Warren on Friday.
100%. And, you know, we talk about that. You said you have 6 games here in December. I do want to – we'll talk about them. I do want to talk about this Saturday game here against the Brownsburg Bulldogs. Obviously, knocked you guys out last year, ruined any chance you had of making it through there. I just want to talk about, do you kind of view certain games of who you want to beat more, maybe certain like revenge games or whatnot, since this is the team that ended your season last season? Do you view those any differently, revenge games or teams you'd like to beat more, or are you still just every game you take one at a time, every game's the same?
Yeah, not necessarily, because if you look at the track record, we've ended Brownsburg year multiple times in rude fashions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the last time we played Brownsburg in the tournament, I think we won by 40. And that was to go to a state championship in 23. So, yeah, you can say, you know, they beat us last year and that, you know, but I really consider it, we kind of beat ourselves in that game. We made mistakes that cost us the game, not necessarily. Now, they played well and they had to execute in certain spots, but from my perspective, especially as a coach, I don't like to put a label or a tag on a game, especially when it comes to certain guys. Now, Fishers, now that's something else. Fishers and Carmel, there's the 2 teams that I always want to beat. But you know, they've gotten the best of us, especially Fishers in the last few years. I think if we look at the overall record, for Fishers versus Ben Davis, since I've been here, it's fairly even. But in the last few years, they've been able to get the best of us. So, I mean, Brownsburg is a great coach. It's always a well-prepared team. I just want us to play well and especially get our first win on our home floor since we're 0-2 right now.
100%. And then looking at this Richmond tournament for y'all, obviously you know your first round, your first game against Beech Grove. When you look at a tournament like this, how do you view staying sharp and staying prepared for these games? Because there's not a lot of break here when these games get over. For example, you play Beech Grove at 1:30, and then if you win that game, you turn right back around same day, 7:30. So not a huge time gap at all to really go home and do anything. So what do you kind of do in that little gap there in tournaments like those where you're just trying to keep the mind sharp and keep the body ready?
I use it as preparation, because when you look in that the state tournament, you have to play two games in one day. And then when you have to play a lot of games within a small amount of time, you look at the Marin County tournament, which is coming up in January. So these things are intentional. We do these to try to figure out how and what we should be doing, especially when we put ourselves in position to be successful in these tournaments that are coming up. But usually you get off your feet quickly. You get yourself something to eat, and then you go over to scout for the next game. Naturally, you won't be able to practice. You may walk through as soon as you get to the gym, but you won't be able to practice. So we watch film. We go over our scout report, and we just get off our feet, especially with a quick turnaround like that.
Yeah, sounds good. And, you know, we'll revert back our attention to Warren here, but kind of you guys are at a disadvantage with the next couple of teams you play due to the sole factor that these teams are not like you. They've had their games, right? They've had they've not had this odd, random 3-week stretch that you guys have had. Fortunately for Warren, they and for you guys, they also have had a bit of a weird stretch here. No games really in the last couple of weeks or so. They did face Avon on December 13th, so, but they've had just kind of weird gaps and weird different days, like 5 days, 6 days, 3 days. So how do you kind of view that as a similar team, as well as tonight Warren actually faces Addicts? So also, will you be keeping your eye on that to help prepare for the game plan and scout film and whatever plays they'll be running and whatnot? And how do you kind of view this Warren team here?
Yeah, man, well coached. I think Coach Byers, he's been around for a long time. And his previous stint with Warren, they went undefeated and won a state championship. So he's a championship pedigree coach, and he has a great coaching staff. So we just got to stay on our P's and Q's. Naturally, games that they play, we'll request the film and try to get our eyes on them if we don't go to the actual game. As soon as that game takes place, we can only do what we can do. The same for them. Their film is from a month ago, 3 weeks ago. So hopefully, and I'm, you know, we've prepared ourselves to be a different team than we were the last time we played on the 29th against Zionsville. So that old film will be totally different from what they'll see on Friday.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we talk about that. Let's talk about that game against Zionsville a little bit. What can you do to erase any negative thoughts? Specifically, I know last episode for Conversations with Carla, we were talking about how kind of you just didn't feel like everyone was playing their best, wasn't trying their hardest. We obviously, we talked about how you threw in that whole second rotation there for all your starters. So how can you kind of say, all right, that game is in the past, that game does not matter, and to specifically to some of your leaders like a Jay Sean Ladd or like a Sherman Moss, how can you kind of erase a bad performance like that from everyone's mind?
Man, I think this is where the blessing of the 3 weeks came in, right? We was able to reset and recalibrate and kind of get these guys to understand what the expectations are and the standards. I think it got lost early in the season. I think that there was a little bit of selfishness and kind of a lack of preparation from our part, even almost, I would almost say a little bit of selfishness from our part, where we assumed there was a lot of assumptions that were made, especially considering where and what we were trying to do. And now those things have been corrected. So I don't think it's something that we have to go over per se. There's been a reset of standard. We've had a lot of meetings. We've had individual conversations with every guy on the team just to make sure that they understand what the standard expectations and the roles for each individual player are within our program.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about that. It's just really probably been, I assume, for y'all just trying to change the mentality there after the first few games, because, you know, obviously you always want to win, but you go up and against what is projected to be one of the, if not the best team in the state in Fishers. You go in, you keep a close game with them through four quarters. You eventually suffer a tough loss by about 8 points, I believe it was, maybe seven, something along those lines. But, you know, it like you said, it's just trying to change up the mentality. And did you feel any sense of maybe overconfidence within your team at all because of the high expectations from, you know, last year to this year? Did you feel like there's any overconfidence, maybe people being too cocky, or do you feel like you're sitting right, just right where you are now?
I think there was, after the Fishers game leading into Zionsville, there wasn't a big sense of notoriety. There was, you know, you can look at what happened that weekend and kind of blame it on circumstance, but, you know, I'm not that type of coach. But the game got changed, and it was moved from 1:30 to 11:30. The JV game started at 10 instead of 12. When we thought we was going to get that first big snow, everything kind of got shifted up. And then the crowd, there was no energy. There was probably 40 people at the game because of that change and because of the threat of bad and poor weather. So the energy was low. But I do think, you know, that first game, it was a really good crowd. It was two top five, top ten teams going at it. Number one team, you know, Fishers, Ben Davis is kind of creating a little bit of a rivalry. Played each other in the state championship. Multiple. We always played on the first game of the season. They're always projected to be one of the better teams in the state as well as we are. So coming off of that game and going into a game where they had lost majority of the guys that were their top players the year before, leaning into a new season with a lot of uncertainty, and I think you can overlook a team that'll be well coached and will play hard, and you allow them to stick around, and you find yourself in a dogfight.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up here, I do want to ask you one last question here. Going into before this season, before everything started, me and my partner Tyler Stout, we talked to Jay Sean on the way. I think it was out of here, actually, class, and he said something along the lines of, and we're talking about how the season would go and whatnot, how he thinks it would go, and he said he thinks it would go great. He said it would go good. Just kind of trying to establish that big man. He was kind of worried that you guys didn't have a big man. Obviously, last year, you guys had a decent footers. You had Caleb Milan last year, who was pretty decently tall, I believe, 6'10", 6'11", maybe. So Lewis Harvey's kind of stepped into a few minutes there, but without giving away, can you kind of say what big man minutes you're going to be stretching out here and what the case will be, and if you had any idea who would start for you there at center going into the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, once those guys left, right, Justin Parks, Tavion Williams, and Caleb Milan, we had to figure it out. You know, we knew that they were seniors naturally, and we knew that we would have to figure out who would be the guys for us. So we play in summer leagues, and we play in summer tournaments, and we are able to practice throughout June. And then we have limited contact work from September up to the season. So we had a decent idea of who and what and how. Lewis, I think he'll be really good for us. I think both of his parents played Division I basketball. Both of them played at IUPUI around the same time that I was there. So I've known him for a long time, and I think that he'll round himself into a pretty good player and a decent college player in his own right. I think Prince Anga, I think you look at Nico Reed, DeMarcus Holmes, Adrian Wilson, these guys, they just have to step up when there's a vacancy, when someone gets hurt or you graduate your talent, then the next guys just have to be ready to step in and make an impact. And I think that's what we'll see. It'll take, you know, some time throughout the season because a lot of these guys don't have a lot of experience playing at the varsity level. And they just gotta feel themselves out and understand what that looks like, the speed and the physicality of playing, you know, JV and playing varsity, or even going from freshman and playing at the varsity level. It's a big difference. So, as we continue to move and we continue to grow and we continue to work, I think that those guys will be have a lot of success, and they'll be great for the future of Ben Davis basketball.
Yeah, also trying to get that next man mentality up for your team and whatnot. But with that being said, thank you everyone for listening to another episode. I believe the second episode of Conversations with Carlisle. That might be incorrect, but I'm not quite sure. But last episode of Till We Go Off to Break, last episode of 2025. So Coach Carlisle, again, thank you for joining me today. And good luck. Hopefully you and the Giants can go 6-for-6 here in December. Once again, Bryson Hill alongside Coach Carlisle. Thank you for joining me.
Have a good one.